As you know, I always like to start things off with a nifty little story or a joke or something. Or other. But the one I had this morning was kind of lame. But Dave helped me out this morning. Says a minister was fond of pure horseradish, and he kept a bottle of it on his table. He offered some to a guest who unwittingly took a big spoonful. When the guest could speak again, he gasped, "A lot of preachers preach hellfire, but you're the first one I ever came across that was handing out samples." Today, common story. It comes to us right after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus comes down there and he tells the story of two guys who are builders. One foolish, one wise. Talks about how they build the house. Kind of like the three little pigs story. So basically you got the whole gist of this text. Thank you for coming. We'll see y'all next week. Please stand and join us in our closing song. Look how you guys, many of you guys are excited to get up and leave. Look, back here in the back row, you guys are already putting on your coats. What's up with that? You're ready to go. The two men today, we look at them a little bit different. There's three ways we can face this text today. We can really look at it as the text of building something, or we can look at it from just a little bit of a different twist. We can look at it as security, strength, and wisdom. Picture in your mind the three little pigs building their little houses. They're going to build their house for what? What are they going to build their house for? I know you all know this story. The front row with all the kids, three little pigs story. What do they build the first house for? What? Yeah. Straw. What happens to that house? Gets blown away. What's the next guy build his house with? Sticks. What happens to that house? Gets blown away. What's the third guy build his house with? What happens to that if he lives in Kansas? Gets blown away. See, it happens. Bricks will not always protect you from everything. How many of you have ever dug a foundation in this room besides me and Eddie? Dean, couple, I've been a few of you. When you dig a foundation, what do you do with that foundation? What's the first thing you have to do when you walk on the job site? Find out who the lowest guy is on the job. Make sure you hand him the shovel. It's Dean. Dean works for the funeral home now. Now we know why Dean runs the shovel. But what do you have to do? You have to break open the ground, don't you? You have to disturb where you're going to place this house. And when you start that foundation, how much of your foundation is actually seen when the house is done? Eddie, how much is the house is seen, the foundation seen when you're finished? About a foot. How much is not seen? Same thing. You've got to hide something to be able to build something. You've got to start on firm soil. You've got to build for strength. Now, I built houses in Florida for a long time, and people don't really realize that the foundation on a house in Florida is 36 inches below ground. And you only see the final 12 inches. That's it. The rest of it is there, but it's doing its job. Now, I'm going to ask you all that helped build this house of God years ago. How deep's the foundation underneath this block wall? 6 feet. To hold up that wall. To hold up that cross. How deep's your foundation on the house that God built? How deep is your foundation on that life that you call your own? How deep does your foundation go? Do we just see the surface 12 inches, or do we see the deep foundation? Do we see the text that lives in your life? Do you just scratch the surface? Are you just the visible part that the new people that come along see? Or are you that bedrock that's deeply vested in your faith? We have to really step back and wonder, how much of a plan are we working with? Many years ago, my wife got this crazy idea. And when I tell you why, you're going to say, yeah, it's a crazy idea. To buy this big home entertainment system that came in a box about this big by about from here to that door long. It weighed 7,382 pounds. And I carried it in the house by myself. And the instructions in this box said this, and I quote, make a pot of coffee, sit down, and call a friend. I built houses for a living. I built multi-million dollar homes. I didn't need instructions, and I sure wasn't going to phone a friend to come over and help me put together my entertainment system. But I did need the coffee. And by the time of my standards, where I said, this would take about 45 minutes, and then I'll be sitting over there in the lazy boy enjoying my big flat screen TV on this new entertainment system. Three pots of coffee later, a whole lot of yelling, screaming, and throwing things, I finally picked up the instructions. I was not going to be beat. I, the master carpenter, knew how to build an entertainment system. Those 27 extra pieces were just because the guy in the factory was drunk and he didn't know what he was doing when he packed the box. And it's okay that the finish was not on the front side. No one will really look at that. We'll get a marker. We'll paint that in. I had to take the whole thing apart. It was easier the first time when the screws were all in their own individual little package. When you wind up with a coffee can of nuts, bolts, screws, and other assorted items, you realize, wow, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I never followed the instructions until it was too late, and I had to start over. Now, thankfully, that entertainment system, the first time we moved, started to get weak. The second time, it was just too bad, and the third time, it went away, and I was glad it left because, for some reason, it weighed 7,380 pounds of sawdust. God placed on our hearts years ago foundations that we never follow. We never look at the instructions too clearly because we're too smart for that. James, for those of you that are attending the Sunday evening Bible study, you've heard this once. James chapter 1, 22 to 25 says, you must be doers of the word and not only hearers and mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their face in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed for whatever they do. We've got to start building our life on something tangible. Too much time in our life we worry about, I don't see God, so why should I really build on God? I'm going to take a chance, and this is the thing that many of us preachers have heard, and probably many of you have heard throughout your life, where somebody will say these words, well, there's no harm in believing in God, so when I do die, I still got a chance to go to heaven. Pretty flimsy foundation in my book. I've heard it more times than not that Well, I'm going to believe just in case. Well, just fall back to that just in case, because you're not believing in God. You're not building a foundation. You're leaving God. You're forgetting God. We as people, we need to have something tangible that we can reach out and grab a hold of, and something to hold, something to see of that foundation. We've got to start building on what we see. Look around at the world before you. There's beauty everywhere. Everywhere. But there's also ugly everywhere. Now, I'm not going to play the look to the left, look to the right, and see the ugly. I'm going to tell you, watch the world around you and see the ugly. See where families are imploding and they're fighting and they're scrapping and they're struggling because they can't seem to get along. We've had a perfect example of not getting along for the past 2 weeks, 2+ weeks. Instead of doing what was right, we do what we do for ourselves. We fight, we struggle, we forget the foundation that we always built on. We forget that Christ called us to be his people and not our people. We tend to schedule ourselves and reschedule ourselves to the point that we don't ever see God in the schedule. We know he's there just in case. Just in case something might happen. Just in case my foundation gets a little shaky. Just in case I know you're there, God. Just in case I'm going to labor away the day and I'm going to tell people that want to ask me, yes, I believe in God. God is right beside me. I'm with God every day of my life. I'm going to put it on my email. I'm going to put it on my answering machine. I'm going to put a bumper sticker on my car. I'm going to wear the shirt, but by golly, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to put out the image for everybody to see that I'm building my house on God. But the contractor of the job sees that you're not building it according to plans because you failed to pick up the instructions and find out how to build off of your foundation. We cannot, as people, play Bible roulette in our life. We cannot pick out the words in this book that we only want to follow. We got to pick out all the words and follow all the words, all the teachings, all the instructions. You cannot build your life without this book, because if you do, just in case, you're going to be in hell and let me know how hot it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the text today teaches us the Word. The Word. Another name for Jesus. The Word is alive today. It's alive. It is up to you to feed and nourish this Word. You cannot call yourself a people of God and live on the foundation what's above ground. You have got to make your foundation sturdy. So when the storms of life come and you need the protection, the shelter, and the wisdom, you can withstand the storms. Angie touched on Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm going to touch on something else. My daughter-in-law last year, 2 years ago, lost a baby. And she struggled. And she hurt. And she cried. And she screamed. And she yelled. And she hated God with every cell in her body. Me as a pastor, it was hard for me to stand there and look at her and say, honey, God's got a plan, when she looks at me and say, I hate him. Days have went by. Weeks have went by. She's been diagnosed with a severe medical condition. She doesn't know if she's ever going to be able to carry a child or not. She's joined a group of women that October 15th is Unborn Fetus Awareness Day, to give support to those mothers that are hurting, those fathers that don't know how to grasp a hold of things. This past week, she called me hysterical, which is something that she's never done in all the years that she's been married to our son. She was crying. She was hysterical. She was sad. And she said, "Can you pray with me?" We had prayer. And then she calls back later and she says, "I feel better." And then as the days went on in the week, my son and his cyst on his spleen has been causing him intense pain and things. And they were at the doctor, and she has this personality that if she steps in line, she should be the first person in line. She cannot wait. She refuses to wait. She has a temper that's like no other temper I've seen. And she's got flaming red hair. But it just kind of happens that way. She was so upset with where she was at and what she was going through. She called my phone again. I was off to a funeral service. Lindy answers the phone, and the first thing she says to Lindy is, "I need prayer." This is a girl that 2 years ago hated God with every cell in her body. But she realizes that she needs to go back to the foundation that her life was built on and talk to that man hanging on that cross to save her from what she was going through. I ask you, as people of God, why are your foundations the only thing that you're building on that we see? We need to see everything that you're built on. Don't allow the world to become the dictator of your actions and your behaviors. Don't put on the false bravado that you follow God because you put it on your email, you put it on your bumper sticker, and you wear this shirt. Walk the walk. Talk the talk. And realize that this is just not paper and ink. That this is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you're laboring away the days, when your busy schedules are so much that you forget about God, you need to fall back to your knees and realize your foundation is crumbling. Because when you get to this point over here, you're just in case you've got one more step outside the wall, and then your life is over. Thank you for the hellfire and brimstone. I appreciate it, Dave. It woke me up this morning. It helped me realize that as a pastor, I don't need to stand up here and tell you just the good things. My job as a pastor, I've been called, and if you read 2 Timothy, it will tell you, as a pastor, I'm called to encourage you, excite you, and educate you. If you think your foundation's crumbling, go back to the basics. Because what God put where no one can see, you can rebuild on so that your structure can't be blown away. Please stand and join us in our closing song.